One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello everybody, welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello Scott.
Josh, my friend, it has just been Call of Duty Modern Warfare weekend, and a lot of people aren't very happy with the state of Modern Warfare 2's reboot, reimagining, remake
thing. No, they're
thing.
Not. Scott Telford, if you've been online, or especially on the Call of Duty subreddit, you'll see a lot of complaints over the weekend, and to be honest, they're not entirely invalid, because it's been a strange rollout for a game that many people were really excited about, including myself.
Yes.
And ultimately, it's been a strange launch where features that you would expect to be in the game are missing. There is a map that is MIA. There was a map in the beta that isn't in the final game, and people are a little bit confused about that because, at least at the time of recording, Activision hasn't really commented on why it's gone. There are issues with the bad spawns and bad UI, and ultimately, it just kind of feels like this game is kind of coming in hotter than people would expect. I've personally been enjoying myself. You know, I was a huge fan of the 2019 Modern Warfare game, and I've been really enjoying this because it is an ambitious title that has changed a lot of core fundamentals with the multiplayer especially, and it's trying kind of like newer things like bigger maps, bigger modes, expanding upon the ground war mode in 2019, and incorporating a lot of different kind of like styles of Call of Duty play that I'm really enjoying. But there are these drawbacks that I'm going to get into. I know that you've jumped in yourself. Like, can I get your first impressions before I go into these details in particular?
This was a weird one because I saw the sales data across the weekend and it was like, oh, it's the biggest selling Call of Duty on Steam either ever or in quite some time.
Yeah.
And it's a very solid card. I feel like every year we sort of just till the fields and go, is it a good card? Yes, it's a good card. This year's yield is pretty strong. And yeah, it's a good card. I mean, I play every single one of them. This is a solid enough game. It's one of those ones where I played every single Call of Duty apart from Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah.
But this one, I just sort of played it and I was like, yep, this is more of what I love from 2019. It's very much a continuation. However, I know that if you play Call of Duty a lot more than I do, like I play every single one, but I'm not a hardcore fan. Josh has played like 1,000 hours or something of Warzone. Dude's living on it, whereas you're going to notice way more things. I think the overall Call of Duty fandom will notice a lot more than I would. So for me, it's just give me an M4 and let me hold the left trigger then the right trigger. I'm solid enough.
Unfortunately for you, the M4 is the first assault
rifle
you get.
I know, it's like
get.
They saw me coming.
So that's perfect for you. Yeah, okay, let's jump into the things that they have changed then, because that is a cause of contention amongst the fan base right now, specifically the way that perks work.
Right.
So in previous Call of Duty titles, as you probably know, you pick 3 perks before the match, and then they just activate for the entirety of that match, and then you go forward from there. There's not much else to them. Sometimes you can unlock other versions of them, but it's been pretty much straightforward for the past few years. The new perk system, however, you get 2 base perks that activate for the full match, but then the next 2 perks that you get that are a little bit more stronger don't activate until a certain threshold within that map. So you still get ultimately you still get all of the perks eventually.
Yep.
But it seems like a kind of needless change, because in my experience playing, you know, certain modes, I unlock them quite fast anyway.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I'm going to unlock them fast, why not just have them right from the very beginning? It's one of those kind of needless changes, I would argue. And I kind of see what they're getting, what they're going for, because some perks may be overpowered or whatever, so you want to get them later on in the game rather than stomp people right at the beginning. But it just seems strangely implemented. And like you said, they're kind of random in terms of how they unlock and kind of like how they contribute to the feel of every match.
I wonder how much it's them chasing Halo Infinite. I know that's a weird marker to chase, because Infinite's been such a tire fire, like all the, since launch pretty much. But that game went forward with the idea of everyone starts the same and you're finding various parts of your loadout, various pieces of equipment on the battlefield, and it changes how, in theory, it changes the flow of a match as the match continues. And I wonder if it's Call of Duty's version of that. It's like we've had standard loadouts for so long, I mean 15 years or whatever, since Modern Warfare, and I know that we had them a little bit before then, but in terms of Call of Duty pioneering that stuff, and all this like the pick five system and all those kind of things, maybe this is them going like, let's shake it up and see how people respond to it. Obviously, the response has been, could you not? We'd rather you didn't do that.
Well, it seems like this is quite a gracious look on how they've approached these changes, in my opinion. It seems like they've tried, with the changes and omissions they have made that I'll get to, they've tried to level the playing field across the board, whether you're a casual Call of Duty fan or whether you're a hardcore Call of Duty fan. And that's, you know, kind of with the perk system. But specifically in taking away stats, like they've taken away the barracks right now so you can't see your overall kill-death ratio, for instance. Like, that's not in the game at this moment in time, which seems like a big omission and a lot of people aren't happy with, and kind of myself personally, I'm like, well, where are my stats, guys? How am I supposed to know how well I'm doing, etc.?
When you finish a match as well, unless you go back to the menu and hit the right trigger, you can't even view the standing of like the match that just completed. Like,
right,
most of them don't auto-generate. You've got to find a way to see if you even placed well, unless you're pressing the touchpad during the battle itself.
And this kind of seems like a trend, right? Because Battlefield 2042, which launched last year, similarly didn't include like a conventional scoreboard. And I wonder if like kind of the developers behind these first person titles are trying to not eliminate that competitive side, but kind of obfuscate it, so you're not so worried about your kill death ratio, you're not so worried about doing well compared to other players, and you can maybe just have some fun in the game itself working with mechanics. Like I said, I think that's a noble aim, but in implementation it doesn't quite come across like that, and it feels like you're missing a feature perhaps that came in other games as standard.
I think as well, I mean, Overwatch 2's version of that, it's like there's like a general push, like you said, from Battlefield to Overwatch 2 to Call of Duty to try and make overall online play spaces more friendly, which, like you said, is a noble aim and something to aim for. And especially if you contrast it with the Wild West days of 2006 Xbox Live and the amount of things that were being said online, or the general attitudes that were getting across, and we were all part of that stuff, getting used to online play and everything, trying to make those places more palatable overall is definitely a worthwhile thing to do. However, I don't think that you should necessarily eliminate all aspects of competition or stats that can be tracked that people want to see. I mean, I know that, like I said, in regards to the end of match scoreboards, they are still in there if you hit the right button. But I feel like overall people play Call of Duty to some degree to have that competitive aspect. And if that's done well, you can't have healthy competition. You have to get rid of all of it.
I do think, I 100% agree. Like, I think the system that they had before, where sometimes they would hide your kill-death ratio depending on the game mode that you're in, and just keep that, you know, in the barracks itself, so you had to kind of go and seek it out if you wanted to see it. So it wasn't ever present, but it was at least there and it was accessible. That was already pretty spot on for me.
Can I do a banter?
Go on.
Barely know what the KD ratio even is.
Well,
like, I know what it is. I know it references your literal kill to death ratio.
That's right.
But when they show me the number, I don't think I know what that means. I sort of look at it and go, okay, cool.
Well,
what
maybe,
does that do?
Maybe you're the intended COD player. Maybe this is what...
I was already this brain dead to that thing, though, because I just play COD. I just go on the maps. I shoot the men. I don't care. Like, I mean, I'll get more involved than I'm sounding right now, but still, overall, KD ratios were never my thing. Maybe they've looked at the amount of people that talk about those things and have tried to smooth it over. I don't think they should. I think if you want to access that information, it should be there. But I'm just lolling at the fact that if there's more people like me going like, I never really cared, or it doesn't really factor in, that they've kind of gone like, well, no one cares.
Well, I think that's what they want people to care about, ironically. They don't want you to get so focused on that side of the game. And that kind of, you know, gels with how they've changed the weapon progression system.
Yes.
So in like previous Call of Duty games, you would unlock new weapons by just getting to specific levels in the general player progression. And that's still there to an extent. Mm-hmm. But now you also have to use specific guns to get blueprints for other weapons, if that makes sense. So you might have a marksman rifle, and the base of that works as an assault rifle as well, but to unlock the assault rifle variant, you have to get kills with the marksman rifle version. So essentially, it's encouraging you to maybe choose weapons and play with weapons that you otherwise wouldn't have touched, so you can unlock other versions of them.
Breath of the Wild
that you
style.
Might want to use. Yeah, maybe Breath of the Wild style, but obviously not all of those weapons are good. And there's one marksman rifle in particular that I'm talking about right now. I think it's called like the Lackman 5.5 something something.
It's lacking, is it?
It very is, Scott Elford. It very is lacking, because it wasn't fun to use, but I felt compelled to use it so I could unlock unlock this other version of the weapon. And again, it's a noble aim because they want you to use different weapons. They want more variety in the gunplay. They don't just want people using the M4 and then sticking with it for the entire game. And I do get that. Mm-hmm. However, is that necessarily fun? Is that necessarily fun? Mm-hmm. And does that gel with kind of like what Call of Duty was before, like we were talking about with the competitive angle? I don't know. Ultimately, is it what people want necessarily? Is it what the community is responding to? I don't mind the system that's in place right now because you still get gun unlocks. Yeah. It's just if you want those particular versions, you have to spend time with other weapons. And it just depends if those guns are fun to use, which in my opinion, that marksman rifle is not. I'm having a nightmare with it. I'm trying it fully auto. I'm trying it single shot. I'm trying it on ground war. I'm trying it in 6v6. Maybe I just suck. I don't know.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
I feel like overall, if they were going to shake this many things up, it should have been in one of the installments like Vanguard or Infinite Warfare or whatever, not something that feels like a direct sequel. Obviously, this is Modern Warfare 2, it's the continuation of 2019's, and that will get a lot of eyeballs on your risks that you're taking, but still, it's Call of Duty. It's still going to be something that a lot of people are going to check out. But yeah, I'm always going to champion a risk. I feel like this has only been out for about 4 days or so.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of people are still getting used to things. However, like you said, that's a double-edged sword. I always like the idea of trying to encourage a player base to try more of the weapons on show, but at the same time, if the thing that they're pushing you towards is just fundamentally lacking to what you were just using,
yes,
that's never going to be a good feeling.
That's it. And I mean, you know, with I'm not going to talk too much about score-based matchmaking in this video, but say, like, you know, you're getting stomped anyway, you don't then want to use a gun that you're not gelling with just because you want to unlock another gun. Like, that's just going to make for a couple miserable hours until you get the thing that you wanted in the first place, and maybe gating content in that way isn't necessarily the best. However, going into the actual gameplay itself, like, I think it's really solid. I love the engine that they're using. The gunplay feels punchy. I like the added recoil to the guns. However, there is one point of contention amongst the fan base and myself, Scott Tilford, and that's the spawns in the regular 6v6 multiplayer.
Yeah.
Because they are absolutely annihilating me at this moment in time.
Why is every single year we talk about spawns, but oh my god, this year, when the first match I went into, a guy just spawned there, right in front of me. facing the other way, and I just blind fire killed him, and I was like, oh, that's gonna suck to be that guy.
It was probably me. It was probably me in that moment in time. I was playing a map last night, and it literally, I had four deaths in a row, and it spawned me in the same place every single time, and I was practically screaming to the game, this is where I die, this killed me last time. You're giving someone else an easy kill, and it just feels way more noticeable. I mean, Call of Duty always have bad spawns when the games first come out, but this one feels really noticeable and kind of really random, where more often than not, I feel like I'm just spawning in an enemy's line of sight and get annihilated, or they're spawning in my line of sight and I'm annihilating them. It just doesn't feel particularly well implemented.
I would love to know how, we've been doing Call of Duty annually for 15 years now.
Yeah.
How do we not have spawns right? How is this the same? Every single launch period always has something to do with the spawns. I remember World War II's being notably bad a few years ago. And it's just, Vanguard. I mean, they all are. There's always some version of this conversation, but I've really noticed it this time. Like I said, it was immediate. Dude, just right there. Okay, I will kill that guy that's right in front of me then.
And it sucks again because this is, you know, a sequel, and you kind of expect a sequel to expand upon what the team learned from the previous game. And this does in some ways, but like I said, with this title in particular, I still really like it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of weird changes and weird omissions and kind of steps back where you don't really expect them to step back. Mm. And a lot of people, again, are complaining about that missing map. There was a museum map from the beta that, you know, was heavily tested, and now it's just not there. And there's just kind of like a general sense of weirdness of like, why is all of this stuff in flux when the game is out? You know, there's a missing hardcore mode, for instance. That's another thing that people are annoyed about, you know, a hardcore variant of the many multiplayer modes in the game. That's often came as standard. People love playing hardcore with the higher time to kill, with no minimap, etc., etc. And that's not coming until Season 1 drops on the November 16th. And it's just little things like that where they're not deal breakers, but when you compare it to Modern Warfare 2019, it appears to have, you know, maybe less content, maybe missing features that, like you said, should come as standard, and that they should have, you know, just kind of carried over and got right by now.
Have they, towards the end of development, kind of realized, like, hey, this is going to be the last Call of Duty for a couple of years, and we need to kind of stretch this stuff out. So if we can have anything that's remotely anticipated that gets people talking, even if it's just we're giving you the thing that you thought you were going to get on launch day, which is just video games 101, that can be something people can anticipate a few months in advance, and they can sort of makeshift a season plan that way.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
The return of the museum map.
Probably, because then people get excited about season one. It gives them a chance to log back in. It gives them a chance to connect with the game again for a longer period of time. I don't like that myself. If that is the case, I prefer to have a content-rich game at launch and then have that supplemented with stuff afterwards, rather than, you know, be in this weird space where we're now looking forward, like you said, to things that we either expected to be in the base game or things that we've already played in the game, like the museum map, and we're thinking, okay, when are we going to get that stuff that we thought was going to be already included? It just kind of creates a strange dynamic. Like I said, a very strange sequel.
Especially with the lack of communication on their part. If it's something that any beta map that people were responding positively to, you would assume would then be in the full game.
Yeah.
That's a weird beat to go with.
A couple more nitpicks, because again, these do feel like
nitpicks, my friend.
But the UI in the menus in particular has been causing havoc for a lot of players. And this does suck. Like, there's just some strange choices that they've made. There's a horizontal kind of option screen for your camouflages. So you have to go, it just shows you every camouflage that you have in the game. There's like no drop down boxes. You just kind of scroll right until you get to the one you want. It's just not intuitive.
No.
The way the UI works, when you're even jumping into a match, like you might click, you know, invasion and ground ball, for instance, off the menu. Mm-hmm. And you might think that'll put you into a matchmaking lobby, but then you go into its own screen, then you have to click matchmaking again. And there's been so much time wasted in that screen where I thought I was matchmaking and I hadn't clicked the thing. Again, it sounds like a small thing, but it's just one of those weird steps back. Like I mentioned, there's also a map that a lot of the fan base doesn't necessarily like, but I really like it. And it's on a kind of like a highway with a lot of cars.
It looks like the one from Black Ops 4, I think.
Okay, I don't really remember too much about
Black
Ops 4.
There was one, I'm sure it was in Blops 4, where it was like a highway, lots of crashed cars, and everyone was just doing sight line, sniper rifle stuff over and over and over again.
Well, it's very similar to that, apart from the cars explode.
Okay.
So if you're stood next to a car and someone hoys a grenade, then your entire team can die, as happened to me yesterday when we were trying to cap an objective. And then the car was on fire, and I thought, that's going to explode. So I tried to move, the car exploded, whole team wiped. Very strange kind of approach to that level's design, because I actually do think it works well as a level. Right. I might be in the minority for that. Mm. It's just the exploding cars and how many of them there are that kind of seems strange, because it just seems like a hazard that you have to avoid. But if you're avoiding it, you avoid the whole middle lane of the map.
One thing that I always hated in Call of Duty campaigns was that idea of you just wandered into the radius of a grenade about to go off. Right. And even if you're right on the edge of it, it's an instant death thing.
Yes.
So you see the thing on the screen going like, hit RB to throw it back, but you're dead before you can even respond to it. And same thing for exploding cars and stuff. You sort of just, your character just dies in the middle of a firefight, and it's like, oh, well, guess I die then. I guess I must have been next to some radius that I couldn't see. Bringing that across to the multiplayer is potentially tragic.
It was. It certainly was, my friend. Like I said, it sucks because I think the map is good. It's just these tiny kind of issues that add up ultimately. It might seem like we're nitpicking a lot in this video, but we're just trying to reflect kind of like what the fandom is talking about right now, and these seemingly are the biggest issues, and they're kind of more of a problem because I don't think anyone really expected the game to have these issues, because like I said, a lot of them are steps back from what we had previously and what we established with Modern Warfare 2019, and a lot of them do directly impact the gameplay as well. Like I said, you know, no hardcore mode absolutely sucks, the bad spawns obviously really suck, and like other missing features that you expect to be in there as standard. It just feels strange, and it just feels like why wasn't this sorted at launch? Because the game could be something special, and like I said, it is still very good. Like, I'm not saying don't buy the game or anything reasons. It's just room for improvement, and it's kind of, I think it was an unforced error on Activision and Infinity Ward's part to not have this stuff in there at launch, or have this stuff sorted at launch, because otherwise we could have hit the ground running, and now the game is good, but we're fixing issues that were fixed 3 years ago, if that makes sense.
Well, that's the thing, and speaking of like years gone by, I feel like this long into an annual cycle, I know they're finally taking a break now, so maybe we'll see. Maybe the spawns in 2 years' time will be perfect because they find out enough time to refine it and do whatever. But this long into a franchise's life cycle, they kind of have to get those things right.
Yeah.
And they're going to stick out more and more, especially when this is the sequel to the best received card in quite some time. Like 2019's game, at least for me, is like the best one they've ever done. I thought that thing was absolutely incredible. In regards to the gameplay, I think the story was a little bit waning, but whatever.
Yeah.
In terms of the feel, it was stellar. And so yeah, you're finally bringing that back around after Vanguard and whatever to finally pay that off and do something grander, and then to take even the remotest step back is going to massively stand out because everyone's expecting it to be capitalized on, hence the sales. I guess we'll see how things shake out because, like I said, the sales across the weekend have been incredibly strong, and maybe, you know, with all the new loadout system and the spawns and all the other issues, well, there'll be more people weighing in whether or not this is a big enough issue going forward that it gets addressed. Let us know what you think, though, down in the comments below of Modern Warfare 2. And for now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.